This is the Good Neighbor Podcast, the place where local businesses and neighbors come together. Here's your host, Scott Guerrilla.
Good morning, Andrew Shum.
Good morning, Scott. How are you today?
Pretty good, thanks. I was kind of curious about your practice.
Yeah.
Can you tell us the name of your business?
Sure. We're the Optical Boutique Germantown Family Eye Care. My name is Andrew Shum. We've been in practice in Germantown for almost 50 years, actually.
Oh, my goodness.
It's pretty wild. Yeah. Do you know where the Germantown Village Square is? Like that area over where DSW and Stax is? There used to be a big mall there. And that's actually where the practice started a million years ago.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, that's quite a lineage. How did it begin in the first place?
So my dad graduated back in like 1971 or 92, and then spent a couple of years in the Air Force, but then came back to Memphis. Excuse me. And he and his business partner started up in Germantown Village Square Mall. And they were there for quite some time and eventually moved into where we are now off of West Street, I think in 87 or 88. And we've been in that building since then, right in the middle of West Street between Poplar and Poplar Pike.
Wow, that's very distinctive. So what are your observations about the industry itself? What can you tell us about things we should be aware of? What we're looking for? What kind of products you offer and services that are unique? Just kind of expound on your business for us.
So it's been kind of interesting watching the past, well, really decade, the rise of like online sales have done a lot for the whole industry. But it's really cemented private practices different than just online business. The products offered online in general aren't up to snuff for what even the average person would need. So it's been kind of cool being able to show people that. And for a while, it was a really show, don't tell kind of thing. Because, I mean, me especially, I do most of my shopping online. And so there's not really a reason not to until you try it and it doesn't work well. So that's been easier for us to demonstrate by just going, cool. Go for it. Try it. See how you like it. And most of the time, they'll end up coming back to us. The other thing that happened just in the past few years, kind of just pre-COVID and afterwards, there was lots of private equity coming in. And you've seen the rise of this one business in particular called My Eye Doctor around. They bought up probably 10 different private practices around town. And it's just been an interesting time watching the almost schism in care between a lot of people going corporate and a lot of people staying in more private care. There's not really a right way to do it, but we like how we do it for sure.
Well, that makes perfect sense. Plus, you've been grounded into the community for so long. Mm-hmm.
We did school screenings in Germantown for a few years. We used to host the Mothers Against Drunk Driving races and stuff. We've been a part of the community basically forever.
That's excellent. Have you ever seen any kind of trends as far as eye problems that people should be aware of?
Oh, big time now. So everyone's on screens all the time. And we'll just talk adults for a second. Everyone gets dry eye from it. Literally blinking is one of the most important things that you can do, which sounds really dumb. But we don't blink as a society nearly as much now as we used to because you don't blink as much on screens as you should. And so it actually causes the oil glands in your lids to get clogged up to the point that they don't function well. They actually die off. So a lot of this dry eye, we caused it ourselves, just straight up. And so it's a huge industry now, too, in pharmacy, fixing this problem that is very easy to fix yourself if you just work on blinking more and blinking harder, which is way harder than it sounds.
You gotta remember it.
The other big one, though, is with kids. I mean, think of how much you see kids on screens now. And it's not just a computer screen or a TV screen. It's mostly tablets and phones. The amount of near demand that they have is way different now than it was 15 years ago. And along with that, we're seeing a rise in nearsightedness or myopia. And we know what causes this now. It's not a question of why is this happening? Is it just correlation? No. Frequent near demand on high contrast screens and not going outside enough is causing kids to become nearsighted. And the rates are crazy. It was something like 15% of all kids had nearsightedness back in the early noughts. And now it's closer to like 40%. And it just keeps going up. So it's a big problem. We're doing a lot to combat that just with education, but also now we have ways to actually slow down the progression of kids that keep getting nearsighted. So it's pretty neat.
How do you slow the progression of that when everybody has to be on their screens?
So it's weird. So actually, the more time you spend on your screen once you're nearsighted may not have as much to do with it. It's more triggering it to start. Once you're already nearsighted, your chances of getting worse are pretty high, regardless of what you do. So there are specialty types of glasses lenses that we don't actually have in the US, unfortunately. They can help slow it down. The FDA hasn't approved them for some reason. They work very well, though. But here in the US, we have specialty contacts that we can use, as well as what's called corneal molding or orthokeratology, that actually reshapes the front of the eye and slows down that progression by 90 to 100%. So it's pretty cool. You'll see kids that'll progress one unit, what we call a diopter, every year. Just keeps getting worse. And you've seen people like this. Everyone has like a family member. They go every year to the doctor and their eyes keep getting worse. We can slow that down a lot with specialty contacts. It's really neat to see. You'll have this kid that has progressed the same every year suddenly just stop. Once they get to like 18, 19, 20, they're usually done with that anyway. So you can stop it then. But before then, they'll just keep going.
That's amazing. I would have never even thought to ask a question like that. I wouldn't thought it was possible. That's amazing. What about the UV component of it?
So that's still being very researched. It's cool. Natural sunlight has a protective effect in stopping somebody from becoming nearsighted. It doesn't, well, as far as we know, it doesn't do a whole lot to slow it down once it's started, but it definitely reduces the risk for them becoming nearsighted to begin with. There was a study in Taiwan pre-COVID. It was going on for almost a decade pre-COVID, where they had all these kids in schools. They had good data showing what percentage of them were becoming nearsighted. The amount of studying that they were doing eclipses what we do pretty significantly. So their amount of nearsightedness in certain countries in Asia are like way higher than they are here. So these doctors did a study where they made these kids go outside for 2 hours a day in school, four different sessions of 30 minutes of recess, and compared the overall rates of nearsightedness in that school versus the average. And it was way less. Then COVID hit and they lost that intervention and all those kids stayed time inside again and the rates returned to normal expected for the area. So we know for a fact that it's the outside time that greatly reduced that risk.
That's a phenomenal observation. Well, I've also heard about red light therapy.
Red light therapy is cool. So you're pretty up to date on this. This is more of a new thing. You won't find many people in the U.S. doing that. It's more of a research thing at the moment. But some people are still into it. Red light therapy and certain syntonics. We don't do much in the way of syntonics yet. We are kind of waiting for better research to come out on it. But there's some pretty good stuff with red light therapy, especially out of China, giving some good information on actually slowing it down. As for why it works exactly, not really great info on that. One of the weirder things, so if you think of our spectrum of light here, red light's at that longer end, but we also know that violet light is a protective against becoming nearsighted as well. So there's not really a lot of good information as why this works yet. We're still learning about it. But it's also why we don't recommend blue light blockers for kids anymore. And this is just coming out last year, is a lot of those blue light blockers block that violet light too.
Wow.
There's lots of little things that you wouldn't expect, but it's really cool stuff. This is a field that's just constantly getting new stuff added to it. It's really fascinating.
That is fascinating. I know there's also the prospect that some doctors can look in your eye and detect particular diseases.
Yeah, quite a few things. So whenever you have an eye exam, and this gets overlooked a lot for people that just kind of go in for their routine 15-minute exams to get their contacts updated, that kind of thing, you really need the back of your eye looked at. Usually with dilation or some kind of retinal imaging. There's a lot of stuff that happens in your body that shows up with really specific signs in your retina, in the back of your eye. Now, we're not talking stuff like iridology, where you're determining someone's star sign with their iris and stuff that that's crazy stuff. We're actually talking about different vascular diseases, neurological dysfunctions that you can see from tissue damage in the back of the eye. And things like diabetes, hypertension are probably the most common ones we see, all the way down to, I remember in school having to have a discussion to get a teenager to get a colonoscopy because we found really specific lesions in the back of their eye. That was a really uncomfortable conversation.
Oh, my goodness. Well, that's magnificent. You seem to really know your stuff across the board. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I encourage anybody to come and see us. Is there any other closing topic associated that you'd like to address?
I mean, we're always accepting new patients. We'd love to see people. I've been in this place for 7.5 years as a doctor, and I worked as a technician before then. It's kind of neat. My dad's been, I mean, he started it in 76. He still works there. He works 2 days a week now. Yeah. Keep him busy. Wow. We have a really good time. It's a pretty cozy place. We've got the entire building right there across from where Backyard Burger used to be. Everyone seems to know the area right there near the Apple Store and Garibaldi's. And we're tucked in there right in the street. So definitely come by and see us.
Excellent. Sure been nice talking to you.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me out here, guys.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you for listening to the Good Neighbor Podcast. To nominate your favorite local businesses to be featured on the show, go to gnpgermantown.com. That's gnpgermantown.com. Or call 901-350-6765.